Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This
7:12, it's that time of week where Joe and Cindy Farini join us for My Marriage Matters, a segment you've been hearing for years here on this radio station, a chance for you to strengthen your marriage in the Lord no matter where you're at. Thanks for coming back, you two.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Happy Monday.
Thank you. You too.
So I would imagine you often hear people who have reached this point of, you know, where a couple blinks, maybe when the kids leave for college and they go, I don't even know you. I feel like I'm all alone. And how do you start to rekindle things? I mean, does this happen a lot?
Well, you know, it really does. I mean, as you recall, last week we started talking about the consequences of being on a path that leads to that natural drift toward isolation in marriage. What we're going to talk about today is we want to move in a more positive direction and get on that path that will lead to oneness and restoring hope back into that marriage. And so we need to start with the facts here. And the fact that we need to start with is that God is the one who invented marriage. And since he invented marriage and he designed it, he knows best how to make this marriage thing work. And his instructions for a smooth-running marriage are found in the Bible. In fact, that Bible, you'll find God's blueprints, you'll find his purposes and his plan for building oneness and hope in our marriage relationship. And so we need to understand that our marriages are much more eternally significant than we give credit for. In fact, I love Dr. Joe Aldrich has, I think, well, he has profoundly stated that the number one evangelistic tool for reaching others for Christ in the neighborhood is a successful marriage. And that is a marriage that is pursuing oneness and demonstrating hope in their marriage. And Cindy has some examples of that.
Yes, and we have, you know, we have, and this comes from the Family Life Weekend to Remember. There's five steps back to oneness after isolation. And so, as Joe, you know, was stating, I have a little bit of an example. The first step is that we would, you know, learn God's purposes for marriage. And so there's three of them, but I'm going to just kind of concentrate on one of them, just very briefly. The first one is to mirror God's image. The next one is to mutually complete one another, and then to multiply a godly legacy. But as he was mentioning, you know, that the best way for people to share the gospel is through their marriage. And one time we had, and this goes with mirroring God's image, one time we had opportunity to meet someone new, someone sort of in our sphere of life, and we had an opportunity to meet them for the first time. We shared what each other did in business and in ministry, and if I remember correctly, we exchanged business cards. We happened to have a Family Life card on us at the time, and just shared about what we do, and then we would see these people occasionally. And then about a year later, this person came to us and said, aren't you the ones that do something with marriage? And, you know, when I talk to you, you seem happy and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was interesting because that opened a door. The couple was having some pretty intense marriage problems, separation, contemplating divorce. And they recognized that we had something to offer. And Joe was able to have opportunity with the husband to share the gospel in a more tangible way than just sort of a visit here and there, and was able to lead that person to Christ. And, you know, we sometimes don't think that our marriage is on display, but it really is.
Oh, that's a good point, where people are watching, you know. And how we behave as husband and wife can be a great influence for other folks. Now, what else can we do in terms of trying to bring intimacy back into an isolated marriage?
Right. Well, yeah, we can't stray far away from God's original plan for marriage. And we need to understand that God has a plan for us. And the best way to understand those three purposes that Cindy was talking about was as we begin to contextualize God's plan. And that really, that God's plan can be summarized in just in one verse, and that's Genesis 2:24, and which says that therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And understand that becoming one flesh, or to say it another way, in order to pursue oneness in our marriages and pursue hope, is the process that helps us to grow as individuals and grow closer as a couple. And that growth begins as we break dependencies with our past and we begin to cleave to one another. And that process of becoming closer together becomes comes with the reality that we are a team. And, you know, the great acronym for team, T-E-A-M, is together each accomplishes more. And as we begin to internalize that reality and begin to talk through things and work together as a team, we can begin to move towards intimacy, not just emotionally, but also physically as well. But becoming a team best takes place as we surrender our lives completely to the Lord. And this process of being surrendered to God really is called being filled with the Spirit. And it involves the desire to just be continually controlled and powered and directed by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, to answer your question there, I mean, when we develop a spirit-filled life, lifestyle, Brian, God is then able to more effectively bring about cleaving in our marriages, which is what brings hope.
You know, I understand that completely, but I think for some people who maybe are struggling with pride or maybe aren't ready to say, yes, there's a problem here in our marriage.
Right.
Like, how do you even begin to know to confront the sin issues that are happening in a life and say, oh, maybe I should live a spirit-filled life. Maybe someone doesn't even know what that means.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think if they, even the next step is called just, knowing God's process for marriage. And that's part of it, isn't it? To understand what does he want for us? And if we are Christians, then we should be learning from God's word. God's word is pretty clear that we have the power of God within us. And so we can stop sinning, but we have to depend upon him for that. You know, I wish I had the power to be able to go, well, I'm going to just stop being a nag. I wish I could just stop being, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. But really, all of that comes under the dependence of really recognizing who God is and that he can help us to change those things. And so that's part of that process. It's also part of the process, Kathleen, is like of resolving conflict and also knowing what are our roles in marriage as a husband and wife. You know, our pride will take over when we don't even know, like, what are we supposed to do in terms of what are our roles and our responsibilities?
Mm-hmm.
And, and even learning how to give each other a blessing rather than always insulting and talking down to each other. Those are the kinds of things that are part of that process. And, you know, let's be really clear, because that was a good point, Kathleen, that marriage is a process, growing is a process, learning how to walk in the fullness of God is a process. I wish we had it nailed down, but you know what? We're still learning too,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a process.
Yeah.
So then once you have kind of acknowledged you need to work on this, you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and in your marriage even to Jesus Christ, what's the next step in terms of going towards intimacy as a couple?
Well, I think personally, I mean, I like to think that keep the end in mind in everything we do. And for me personally, a great motivator for me is just the idea, the reality that we're going to leave a legacy someday. And if we're going to have any chance of leaving a lasting legacy that will go on to impact future generations of Christ, then we need to get serious about, who we are individually and who we are as a couple. And know with absolute certainty on this one, Brian, that there is, as Cindy said, there is no shortcut to developing a strong marriage relationship. It's going to take time to truly develop a growing dependence on God. It's going to take time to really build hope and restore oneness in a marriage relationship.
Yeah. And you have to be patient, I would imagine, and be prayerful and perhaps even find a couple to guide you through it as you struggle ahead, right?
Absolutely. All of those things, Brian, are so important. And, you know, we like to be able to give the listeners a challenge. And, you know, one of the challenges I think that people can take to get back to oneness in their marriage is, you know, what are you doing in this process? What are you doing to become more one, more like Christ, but then also more Christ-like in your marriage? So what about considering going to a marriage conference? It doesn't have to be the weekend to remember that we have the honor of being a part of, but it could be a different marriage retreat or through Family Life. They have the Art of Marriage. It's a different venue, a more video-driven venue. But, take that next step of doing the right thing of what would be best for your marriage. And as we always say, you know, somebody has to take a first step. And often if you take a first step, if your marriage partner is willing, hopefully they would take the following next step, and then you get started in the right direction.
Yeah.
So those are some of the thoughts that we have.
Great. 722. Our guests have been Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. And if you want to track them down, it's super simple. You can go search on Facebook for My Marriage Matters. Also, joefarini.com and cindyfarini.com. Is that all correct, guys?
That sounds great.
That's good.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
And as always, if you have any trouble finding them, just come to us, brianandkathleen.org. Thanks again, you two, for your great advice again this week. We look forward to having you back next Monday.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great week. Have a good day.